Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The kingdom of heaven. Today, Jesus, speaking with his disciples, takes this opportunity to correct some misguided thinking. The question that they posed to Jesus, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus has been talking about the kingdom of heaven all through the Gospel of Matthew. And here the disciples once again are not understanding. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who in the kingdom of heaven has the most prestige? Who in the kingdom of heaven has the highest status? Who in the kingdom of heaven wields the most influence? Those are not questions that belong in the kingdom of heaven, which is why Jesus corrects them. And fairly strongly, I think, as he contemplates their question and calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them. They pose this question to Jesus. Jesus, in your kingdom of heaven, in your kingdom of heaven, Jesus, in the one that you're going to establish when you take the throne and get rid of the Romans and do all of these other things, who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to have the most power? At other points in the gospel, Jesus is asked about having James and John sit at his right and left hand. Who of us, Jesus, who of us disciples, Jesus, is going to have the most power? Who's going to be the greatest? And you can imagine the disciples as they wait for Jesus to answer. That he might say, well, you do, or you do, James, or you do, John, or you do, Peter. You are the greatest. You are the ones who have the most power, the most influence. And Jesus doesn't answer directly. He calls to him a child, which is interesting to me, just in sort of an aside here, that those who are following Jesus bring children along with them. When we talk about children, a lot of times we're like, well, you know, we need to have a different place for them, and they need to be sort of have their own thing. And here, when they're following Jesus, the families are present following Jesus. Obviously, the men are there that we hear about, and then the women are there, the mothers, and then there's children hanging around with Jesus and this multitude of people who are following him around. And Jesus calls one of those kids that, who knows what that kid's been up to, has him come into the midst of this circle of disciples awaiting the answer about who's the greatest, who has the most power, who has the most influence, who has the most prestige. And Jesus says, you got the question wrong. You know how sometimes you hear the teacher say, there are no dumb questions. This was a dumb question. Unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. There you go. Who's the greatest? The one who doesn't ask the dumb questions. The one who isn't seeking prestige and praise and power. The humble, the lowly, the littlest, the least, and the last. Who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? The littlest. Children. Jesus calls children into his midst. He has children who come to him and he blesses them. He talks about children all the time. We sing about it. Jesus loves the little children. Right? The least of these, the littlest ones. And Jesus isn't saying that you have to become children again. That's not what he's saying. Just as Nicodemus misunderstood being born again, Jesus isn't saying that you have to become children again, although it might benefit some of them that they would go back and try and do it again. It didn't turn out the best. But he says, the humblest, the lowliest, the littlest, those are the greatest in the kingdom. Again, the ones who aren't seeking power and prestige and praise. And he even doubles down on this and says, whoever receives one of these littlest ones, one of these children, one of these humblest or lowliest or least or last ones, whoever receives them, receives me. He talks about this when he talks about that end time when those who have given and have served, and he's separating the sheep and the goats, and he says, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was sick, you came to me, and when I was naked, you clothed me. And they all say, well, when did we do that? That's just who we are. Jesus here is saying that. When you did those things, when you received those who are the least, who are the lowliest, who are the last, you receive me. Anybody can receive the greatest. Anybody can be amazed when the superstar shows up. Anybody who will go, clean up everything. You ever have somebody important come to the house, you always make sure that the house is clean. We know how to receive the important people in the world. And the world bends over backwards when the important people come. You ever see a city receive the president? Oh my goodness. The changing of the whole way of life to accommodate this one person. But do you see a community receive, I'm going to step on toes, those who are immigrating? Do they bend over backwards? The least, the lowliest, the last are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus has a warning, though, for those who would cause problems for the least, the lowliest, and the last. And the warning is that first, don't bring the temptations to sin into this arena. Don't cause problems where these littlest, the lowliest, the meekest, the humblest would have issues and would struggle with temptation and may fall into sin. Don't venture into that realm, because it would be better for you to die an execution of drowning than to bring sin into the least and the lowliest. But here's the thing. The least, the littlest, the lowliest, and the last are always the ones who are exploited. They're always the ones who are targets for somebody to do something harmful or hateful to them. The littlest, the lowliest, the least, they're always the ones who are exploited. And Jesus knows this because it wasn't unknown in his time either that those who were at risk were those who were on the outskirts of society, the ones who were not in the prestige positions, because those who were in the prestige positions were doing the exploiting. And Jesus says, no, no, no. In my kingdom, it operates differently. My kingdom looks different than the kingdom that you live in today. The kingdom of heaven does not exploit the lowliest and the least and the last. It doesn't take advantage of those who are humble and those who are down and those who are weak. In fact, it serves them even better. Jesus says, see that you do not despise one of these lowly ones or these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. That's an interesting warning. Don't take advantage. Don't despise the littlest, the least, and the lowest. Don't despise those who would be cast out. Don't despise those who would be at risk. Don't despise the weak and the humble, because the Father in heaven looks out for them. Jesus said, the Son of Man came to save the lost. That one, that littlest one, the one left behind, the least, the last. Jesus came for them. He says, it's not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of those little ones should perish. See, the kingdom of heaven is not about power and prestige and praise. It's not about fame and fortune. It's not about self-glorification or putting yourself up on a pedestal. It's not about worshiping an idol of fame and fortune. It's not about that. The kingdom of heaven is for the least. It's for the lowliest and the littlest and the last. Notice, when Jesus goes throughout the communities that he encounters people all the time, and who is it that he is there to serve? The leper? Right? The one who nobody would want to touch, the one who is cast out of society because of whatever skin condition that person had. You know, there are sometimes, and this is just another aside, eczema and psoriasis, you know how we have all sorts of medicines for those? You know, sometimes there were extreme cases of that that looked like leprosy, and there were people who were cast out because their elbows were itchy. Imagine that. Leprosy was not always leprosy, where things were falling off like we have this picture. But Jesus served them. The Canaanite woman, the one from a couple of weeks ago, remember, her daughter was possessed, and Jesus kind of called her one of the dogs who doesn't deserve the food from the table, and yet here she is. She's the last. She's the left out. She's the least, the lowliest, and yet Jesus sees faith in her that he doesn't even see in his own disciples. When Jesus continues to go out through the kingdom, who does he serve? He serves the deaf, who people kind of ignore, the blind, who have to sit and beg. He serves the lame, who people kind of just leave on the side of the road because there's nothing that they can do for them. He serves the poor who are this sort of dregs of society. He even goes as far as to serve the Gentiles. The tax collectors, the prostitutes, the sinners, the least, the lowliest, the littlest. That's the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says to the Pharisees that the prostitutes and the tax collectors are going to enter the kingdom before the Pharisees. Before the proud and the powerful and the ones who walked around expecting everybody's praise and wanted the best seats at every table, Jesus said, you are going to have to wait your turn. Because these prostitutes, sinners, tax collectors who heard my word and believed me, they go in first. These littlest ones, these ones that you would exploit, cast out, run over, they go in first. There's no place in the kingdom for the proud. There's no place in the kingdom for the power hungry. There's no place in the kingdom for those who just want to be praised. The kingdom of heaven is for the littlest. The least, the last. And I know we all struggle with that. Because sometimes we want to say, well, it's for us. And then yet we kind of puff ourselves up. But yes, the kingdom of heaven is here for you and for me. The last. The ones to receive the word. But the kingdom of heaven isn't just about heaven, right? The goal of Christianity, the goal of following Jesus isn't just to make it to heaven, is it? Is that the only goal? Is that what Jesus talked about? I don't think so. There's more to the kingdom of heaven than simply getting to heaven. Or else why would Jesus show up in the first place? See, Jesus comes to change the people who would be part of the kingdom of heaven. He doesn't come and say to the tax collector and the sinner and the prostitute, oh, just keep doing what you're doing. That's great. We all love that. No, he comes to change the kingdom of heaven. And he doesn't say to the Pharisees, keep doing what you're doing because you guys are out anyway. He doesn't say that to them. No, he says, you've heard it said this, but I tell you this. The kingdom of heaven comes to change the people. Comes to change you and me. And not just leave us as we are in whatever condition we feel we're in. The kingdom of heaven comes to change us, to open our eyes to see the littlest, the least, the lowest, and the last. See us as that as well, yes. But there are more. There are more to see. There are more to come into the kingdom of heaven. The least, the lowliest, the last, the littlest. That's the kingdom of heaven. One last thing about that. Jesus, when he's in Matthew 18, that last part that we're reading, and he talks about how the kingdom of heaven is about reconciliation. The kingdom of heaven is about seeking the brother to return to the relationship, right? When a brother sins against you, this is what you do. We sort of follow that as sort of Christian discipleship and discipline, and we talk about that. But I think sometimes we get that wrong, because at the end, Jesus says, well, if all efforts to bring that person back into relationship fail, treat them as a Gentile and a tax collector. And I just want to say, who's writing this? Matthew. Who's the tax collector? Matthew. How does Jesus treat Matthew? Follow me, he says. It's an important piece. And the kingdom of heaven is about bringing us back together, reconnecting the least, the lowliest, and the last, bringing them into relationship. And Matthew has the highest praise when he says that. Because you could imagine him writing it going, that's how Jesus treated me. He didn't leave me. He didn't cast me out. He brought me in. He made me one of his. The least, the loneliest, the last, and the littlest. That's the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And now may the peace that is ours in Christ, as Jesus' little lambs, may that peace rest in our hearts and minds, resting in the kingdom of heaven. Amen.